This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Let's talk about DNA, because recently I came across a story about Estonia. They want their citizens to go for a DNA test to offer personalized life advice. Now, this is not April Fool's, because Matt, you came across a very interesting April Fool's prank that...
Oh, there's a lovely one by Lexus, which puts the next generation of car customization together.
If anyone very wants believable. To
look, yes. Just Google for Lexus and gene testing and you'll have a lovely experience. It's very, very believable until about the last 20 seconds of the clip where you suddenly go, ugh.
Yeah.
Now, if you imagine a future, just imagine while you're watching this, we've gotten to that future where we have a car sharing model rather than individually owned. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So just have that in your mind when you watch this clip.
Yeah. So basically, Lexus Genetic Select, right? That's what they're calling it. They're sort of taking the new car, buying a new car experience to a whole new different level. It's using DNA. It's a prank.
It's a prank, but it's actually quite believable, yeah.
Because there's some factual basis to that. Like, for example, you know, those who are genetically prone to more freckles will receive custom window tinting. Those who have a genetic variant for bald spots, the car will come equipped with a sunroof, for example, right?
So you mean people like me?
Yeah, and apparently the car will be delivered within 48 hours. And, you know, it's so precise that Lexus will be able to deliver the perfect color, trim, horsepower, seating configurations, and also radio presets up to a 99.99967% degree of accuracy.
Yeah,
it's a prank.
But the thing I liked most about it was that they would customize the new car smell, so it was optimized for you especially. Yeah,
there are bits and elements in this prank.
Oh, it's very clever. It is.
I'm
really
very
clever.
Sure Lexus is also looking into it, because they have people who look into car scents and leather.
Of course,
and, stuff,
and
right?
they worked with the guys at 23andMe, the genetic testing company, to come up with this ad. So there is a basis in the science for some of the things that they talk about in the spot.
And taking a cue from that Lexus Genetic Select in partnership with 23andMe, Estonia, they've become an unlikely leader in all things digital. The government has already embraced blockchain, declared internet as an access of a basic human right, embarked on a massive undertaking mission to become a digital society where everything from identity to voting is digitized and linked together across one massive platform. Now they want to embrace another upcoming technology called DNA testing. The government is kicking off a program this month that aims to collect the DNA of 100,000 of its 1.3 million residents. And in return, they will offer them lifestyle and health advice based on their genetics. Brilliant.
It sounds brilliant, but, you know, we're in the middle of this huge debate over what happens with data. And yes, I can understand from one side of the argument, this would help countries because it would make the provision of health much cheaper. Much less of a drain on society, much less of a drain on the individual. And like you said, it's about giving people the information they need to maybe change their lifestyle and have a healthier lifestyle if they choose to. But it's also giving an awful lot of information in a central database.
Yeah.
I think, is it the movie Gattaca? Is that the one where, everyone, whenever you walk into a facility or whatever, there's a little blood prick test to check whether you are actually you. And do we really want to go to that kind of level of society where those kind of genetic traits can follow you around and be used as an identification marker for anything from, you know, buying an ice cream to committing crimes? I'm really not sure we have the safeguards in place yet.
You know, bring back Future Matt, because he was a lot more positive about data than now, Matt.
Well, because he has the benefit of hindsight. We're all looking forward right now. I can only be now, Matt.
So this goal of program is to offer citizens a personalized health information that could potentially help them to prevent or minimize illness in the future. Each participant will receive a personalized genetic report based on an analysis of hundreds of thousands of variants that have been linked to diseases. It's going to be also linked to the Estonian Health National Health Information System, which is managed by the state, and then physicians can also then access this data to treat patients. UK and Iceland, they already have this well-established biobank product, program that began in the year 2000. They've collected and studied the DNA of nearly 50,000 Estonians so far, in the one in Estonia. And this initiative will triple the size of the biobank data that we have. And Estonia actually isn't the only place that's kind of hoping to do this, you know, integrate this DNA thing.
No, Dubai has this. A lot of countries are. And in fact, my DNA is in one of those biobanks in the UK.
In the UK?
I don't have the reports. It was given anonymously. So
right.
They were just taking genetic markers from people. So I contributed to that study, but I didn't give any identifying information along with it.
Look at that. Future man. Wow.
I think that was Yeldi Mac, quite possibly.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, and also in Nevada, they already have this DNA sequence testing of 40,000 of people in Nevada as part of an effort to understand what health issues might be particular to people in that region. So it's coming.
It is coming.
It's coming. We can't do much about it.
There is also a counter-argument with some of this that knowing your genetic predispositions is not necessarily that healthy for you. So for some people, it can actually accelerate the onset of some conditions. Like, for example, if the argument goes that if you're predisposed towards things like anxiety, for example, or potentially things like strokes, the worry of knowing that you're predisposed towards these things can actually accelerate the onset, and you might not actually develop the symptoms of those in your normal and unaware life.
There's one episode in one of the Star Trek series. It was revealed that there was nearly no violent crimes in the planet Vulcan because Vulcans always took DNA samples from all newborns and anyone else in their populations, and because they could now trace anyone on their planet by their DNA left at the crime scene, everyone knows that would happen. So everyone kind of dead stopped their crime plans in the first place. So
of course.
You eliminate serial killers, you know, serial rapists, and basically just everyone who even just has a thought of doing anything, even if it's small petty crime, immediately gone.
But you have that same issue in, what's that Tom Cruise movie, Minority Report. You have this idea of future murder. You have these beings that are able to see into the future, and people are arrested for crimes they haven't committed. By the same token, if you put an armed security guard on every single member of society, there won't be any crime either. So, you know, when you say these DNA tests, yes, it could end crime, but at what other cost is it ending crime? Because you're not just able to tell when people were in a place to commit a crime, you can tell when they were in a place to meet with each other. Now, depending on what kind of government you have, that may be a government that criminalizes the meeting of various people. So the definition of what crime is very loose and changes from society to society. So when you're building this kind of big database, you really want that information only to be in the hands of people that you trust.
Yeah, you know, I'm fine with this whole DNA profiling as long as Facebook don't get any of that data.
No, but the problem is somebody like me might get it.
It's all right. You know, it's just Matt Armitage. What can he do? Future Matt, though, or ye olde Matt.
Well, anything
might be a little bit.
Anything that now Matt has, future Matt is sure to find.
We'll be right back with more after this. BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. This is Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. We used to have King of the Crowd, and then we've got Down in the Dumps. And while I was away, Matt decided to very sneakily introduce a new category that I seem to be quite of a fan as well. Back to
the blackboard.
The blackboard. Interesting. What do we have for this week?
First of all, I have an issue with people going onto crowdfunding sites to fund apps. I find that a little bit odd to start with. If it's a social app, I kind of understand, you know, if it's like a community-based app and it's for charity or whatever. So you're helping to build something that's kind of open source and it has this community focus. For commercial apps, I'm really not sure about going to these crowdfunding sites. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
It's just
a personal thing. I don't get it. This is an app called Milk. Now, you would have thought that now Matt would like an app like this because it rewards you for being in the present and enjoying the moment.
All right.
What it is essentially is one of these apps that incentivizes you to not use your smartphone.
Okay.
Which
yeah.
on the face of it is quite cool. So for example,
we've seen this before,
but a lot of them will actually lock your phone or lock certain services for a period of time.
They block your WhatsApp and Facebook and
exactly.
Twitter.
You can program what they do, the level of customization and access that you can have with your phone.
All right.
What this does is reward you. So for example, for every minute that you don't use your phone, you earn points that can be redeemed at say restaurants or vouchers, and it's clever, but I just feel it's the wrong way around. I don't understand the idea of an app to not use your smartphone that rewards you through an app.
It's quite oxymoron in that sense, though,
right? Yes, and especially as there's a higher level tier to this where there's actually a subscription where you actually pay them money to not use your phone, and you get access to a higher level of rewards for not using your phone.
So you pay a subscription model to download an app on your phone so that you don't use your phone, but the longer you don't use your phone, you get bonus
rewards
points
through your phone.
But in order to use the reward, I have to use my phone, thus it kind of defeats my credit system rating, whatever they call that, and I don't get the... Wow, that's...
I can see why the name Milk...
Is.
Yeah, exactly, because they are trying to milk something. But I mean, some of the elements are quite nice. There's there's gamification levels inside where you can challenge the people you're with, so that the longer the winner is the person who goes the longest without using their phone.
That's a fun game.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's not awesome. So, like I said, this isn't a king of the crowd. This isn't down in the dumps.
Yeah.
I think there's an interesting idea here.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But I think it hasn't been realized in this model. People are helping them out with this. They've collected not a huge amount of money, about $5,000 US so far. But again, you know, people have had the confidence to subscribe and to give them this money. I just have to say, I don't get it. I really do think they need to rethink this model. Back to the blackboard and come back to Indiegogo and wherever else with something that I can genuinely make king of the crowd.
Yeah, definitely. There are elements that make sense, but you know, the whole model does not work. This business model does not work.
The way you spelled it out, it's just...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like a circle that goes in the wrong direction. And you can't have a circle that goes in the wrong direction because it's only a circle.
Yeah, this is really a good example of what exactly is Back to the Blackboard all about, right?
Yes.
Anyways, there's a new documentary that will be out very soon. It's called Do You Trust This Computer? It's talking about the rise of artificial intelligence and the potential perils of thinking machines. It's directed by Chris Payne. He's the writer and also the director of Who Killed the Electric Car?
Which, if you haven't seen, is an absolutely incredible documentary. It's on YouTube. So I advise anyone to watch that.
So I guess that should be your weekend watch. And then later, I think in the next few weeks, you will be able to watch this Do You Trust this computer as well. Now, this documentary examines the staggering amounts of data collected, interpreted, and fed back to us through apps or intelligent devices and targeted ads. And the film explores explores the rise of data analytics and machine learning and its power to fundamentally transform society, including elections, because of the whole Cambridge Analytica kind of scandal that's going on, even up to medical diagnosis, to battlefield weapons as well. So, interesting, right? What I found interesting is the name, Do You Trust This Computer? Because Chris Payne, he said that the inspiration for this documentary began about 3 years ago when he plugged his phone into his laptop and the first question that pops up is, do you trust this computer? He actually said, hang on a minute, no, I don't. And that brought him to this whole documentary. So I'm really excited to see this.
I mean, I'm interested to see it, especially as he's the guy who made Who Killed the Electric Car. But I do have to say that I disagree with a lot of the viewpoints. As I've said in Matt's Blaine many times, I do think that it's stupid machines that we have a lot more to fear than intelligent machines. So even in the case of Cambridge Analytica, the damage wasn't done by the artificial intelligence. It was done by the people who were directing the software. If we have machines that actually have a sense of right and wrong on their own, then potentially we're in a much stronger position. And people like those at data companies that want to try and distort the way we think, maybe that kind of thing will become, you know, a part of our past rather than part of our present or future. So I don't necessarily share the fears of artificial intelligence. I share the fears of artificial, not very intelligent.
We would love to use the other word, but we can't. It's you know, it's national radio. But yeah, artificial unintelligence is probably what we're afraid of. Anyways, I'm going to play you the trailer. I know it's a radio show, but this trailer still makes a lot of audio sense. So here's the trailer.
I use computers literally for everything.
Oh my God, I trust my computer so much.
As a society, we're increasingly surrounded by machine intelligence. These technologies are going to fundamentally change our society.
We'll be able to make ourselves smarter, and we'll be better at solving problems. We don't have to age.
The medical application is profound.
People say it's the future, but it's not the future, it's the present.
How could a smarter machine not be a better machine?
It's hard to say exactly when I began to think that that was a bit naive.
There is a dossier on each of us that is so extensive that they know more about you than your mother does.
The pattern here is that AI might take a little while to wrap its tentacles around a new skill. But when it does, it is unstoppable.
We're rapidly headed towards digital superintelligence that far exceeds any human. I think it's very obvious.
And if we create AI that's smarter than us, we have to be open to the possibility that we might actually lose control to them.
This could be literally an issue of life and death. I think there's no going back.
We've unleashed forces that we can't control, we can't stop. We're in the midst of essentially creating a new life form on Earth.
I do not think that a robot could ever be conscious, unless they programmed it that way.
GeekTunes, Matt, what do we have this week?
Well, we have the return of a band that we haven't seen for the last 10 years. Mm. This is Brazilian Girls. This is a fantastic return to form with their latest track, Pirates.
Ooh, interesting. BFM 89.9.